you're gonna be wearing some water.
If you're doing this, we'll keep going in, now you're gonna have to go around that way from now on.
I will call the July 21st meeting of the Sussex County Council to order. First item is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker, are there any changes?
I've got a question about the agenda.
Ms. Deaver?
We have executive session coming up, right? On this agenda, if I'm correct?
Yes, we do.
Okay, generally, it's to discuss what in general? Is it all three issues, personnel?
Today is pending potential litigation and land acquisition, not personnel.
Okay, I'm just a comment. I think we've had executive session meetings every time that we've met since I got elected. It seems like a lot, and I'm getting complaints from people.
We're acquiring a lot of land, and we're dealing with a lot of litigation, and I guess there's been some personnel issues. This is something that is placed on the agenda by the county administrator, and I have full faith and confidence in Mr. Baker's judgment, but your concern is noted. Any other changes to the agenda or concerns? If not, I'll take a motion to approve the agenda.
Got it.
Second.
I got a motion and a second to approve the agenda. All in favor, say aye.
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 Motion carried. Approval of the minutes. We have the June 16th, 23rd, and 30th in our packets. Are there any concerns? If not, I'll consider the minutes approved. Reading of correspondence. We have a new correspondent reader on staff, Mr. Everett Moore. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. President. We do have several pieces of correspondence, which I will summarize. The first, dear members of the Sussex County Council, on behalf of Children and Families First, thank you very much for your $4,000 gift to support our Sussex County Early Care and Education Resource Center program. We appreciate your commitment to helping us continue to provide vital services to the families in Delaware. And then it goes on to explain their programs. The second piece of correspondence, dear council members, thank you for your contribution of $1,000, $500 from Councilman Phillips and $500 from Councilman Vincent to the Western Sussex Boys and Girls Club 2008-2009 Annual One campaign. Your support helps hundreds of children in the community reach your full potential and become successful adults. And again, it goes on to describe their program. The next letter is from Jesse Savage, Finance Director of the Town of Bridgeville. On behalf of the residents of Bridgeville, I want to thank the council for their assistance through this grant program. The funds provided by the council are greatly needed and appreciated. And that's for the Bridgeville Police Department's expenditures. The next letter I have edited quite a bit for time purposes. Recently, a public forum called Heart and Soul was held at the University of Delaware Cooperative Extension Service to continue the search for what Sussex County will look like years from now. This year was the second year for this county bashing. On the surface, the intent of this quest would seek to be simple enough. Ask a basic question to see what kind of answers people give. But if you look a little deeper and truly evaluate the conclusions generated from this forum, you might see how biased this effort is and how formulated opinions already are. During this event, these so-called experts put on their magic caps and peered into their crystal balls to see a nightmarish future of almost 854,000 new homes being built in Sussex County. Let me ease your fears. This future would take generations upon generations to realize, even if it happens at all, and it doesn't seem to take into account a number of variables. The group has even recognized that based on 3,000 building permits issued a year in Sussex County, the pace at the height of the building boom of 2004 to 2006, it would take 250 years or more to pan out. What they did not say is that 3,000 housing starts a year is assuming the construction industry is booming every year for the rest of my life, my children's lives, my grandchildren's lives, and well beyond. The reality is that Sussex County now is averaging about 1,100 building permits for housing a year. That's much more normal. Taking that more realistic number as a constant, it would be between 700 to 900 years to achieve this build-out scenario, the heart and soul predicts. These experts should have known the county has already looked into the future and taken steps to protect that future. It's called the Sussex County Land Use Plan. Today, there are elements for protecting habitat, preserving open space, and promoting better, smarter construction practices. This plan was adopted by the county council and has been certified by the state and signed by the governor each time. The county developed this plan by following the state law. I assure you the plan sees a Sussex County that's still very much rural and very much home to agriculture for generations to come. All of this has led me to some questions of my own. I am curious to know who commissioned this heart and soul study, who asked for it, or who authorized them to undertake it, and what is its purpose? How much is this quest costing, and who is paying for it? This was a forum free to the public to attend that was sponsored by the University of Delaware Cooperative Extension, something the County Council has supported with funds in years past. I would like to know, in these tough economic times, what this cost the university and the state of Delaware by having all of these employees gathered around for this pretend session. I understand they had breakfast, lunch, and dinner all catered to. I also understand about one-fourth of the people there were employees, presumably there while on the clock. These experts and a few critics might not like development, the current land use plan, or the decisions made by local planners and the county council. That's their right. I would encourage them to run for office if they're so interested in making change. But don't pretend for a second that what you're doing here is real science or about presenting facts. Your mission, I believe, is to scare up the public to force your desired outcome, and that's the real heart and soul of the matter. Dale R. Dukes.
Thank you. Are there any other correspondence? If not, we'll continue with the agenda. Mr. David Baker, County Administrator.
Yes, thank you. The first item we have is regarding the employee of the quarter, and Christine Fletcher from the County Engineering Department has been nominated and selected as Employee of the Quarter. Christine could come up. Christine began her employment on July 1st, 2000, and has served for 9 years in the Utility Permits Department as a Permit Technician 2. Last year, she was promoted to Chief Permit Technician. She emphasizes customer service. She has the ability to deal with developers, a multi-million dollar project. She has trained 3 permit technicians and is willing to share her knowledge and experience with others. She is recognized as a valuable resource in our engineering department. And we have a tribute and a clock. The tribute says, "Be it hereby known to all that the Sussex County Council commends Christine Fletcher, Sussex County Employee of the Quarter, second quarter 2009. Thanks, Christine.
Thank you.
The next item we have is Delaware District 3 Softball World Series grant request. And with us today we have Mr. Martin Donovan, who has come on a few of the previous years to explain the Little League World Series that is held here in Sussex County.
Thank you, Dave. Good afternoon. As Dave said, I'm Martin Donovan from Delaware District 3 Little League and the Senior Softball World Series. I'd like to start out by thanking the council for their support in the 2008 series and the previous series. As most of you know, the Senior Softball World Series is part of Little League International. There's 8 of them in the United States, and we're fortunate enough to have one. Participants are young ladies between 14 and 16 years old. This is a 36th series for the senior softball and a 6-year in Sussex County. The 2008 senior softball was a great success. Last year was a first for us. We were live on ESPN. According to ESPN, the viewing audience was 258,000 viewing households, which I have no idea what that means. But I can tell you it was up from last year, and that was a tape delay, or 2007. And ESPN and Little League International was very happy with those ratings because we're back live again this year. In front of you, you should have a CD. I would encourage you to play it. If you don't watch the game, just watch between innings when they come back, the promos. last year we were up against the Olympics. The opening ceremonies was that night, and this was we were before that. So I imagine the ratings will be up this year. But the interesting thing was last year during a two-hour broadcast, the announcers managed to talk about poultry houses, cornfields, and beaches all in the same broadcast, and they sounded pretty good, even the poultry houses, the smell they were smelling.
It smells like money.
One of the things we pride ourselves in is that we can show our county, our state, to people all over the world. According to Delaware Tourism, this event generates $1.2 million in Sussex County. Of course, we couldn't do that without all of our sponsors or our World Series committee, which I have Petey out here with me. She's been with me from the beginning. And all the community involvement. Every league in District 3, what basically means there's nine towns that participate in this, and they provide about 200 volunteers. And we have the Lions Club, Linus, BB Medical Center, ambulances from all over the county. We have ambulances call us now to come down. The paramedics, state police, Sussex County Sheriff, bus drivers, Roxana Fire Company. And that's just a few that help. We have teams from all over the United States and foreign countries. The United States comes from East, Southeast, Southwest, Midwest, and the West, and our own host team. These regions are playing as we this week to determine what state's coming. Our team will be determined tomorrow night in Roxana. So if you've got a free night, you come down and see who's going to be playing in the World Series. The international teams are coming from Latin America, Asia Pacific, and Europe. Right now, we know Philippines is back to represent Asia Pacific, and Puerto Rico is representing Latin America. And unfortunately, Puerto Rico won last year, not us. We have something unique this year. We have an umpire coming from China. So it's I hope she speaks English, because I don't know that we can find an interpreter. As you can see, we bring guests from all over. And I'm sure a lot of the places you'll go, they'll be in Sussex County, either at the motels and the restaurants. I should also mention that there are a lot of restaurants that donate meals to us for dinner. So a lot of the cost is offset by that. And even Vance, he gives us watermelons. And it's interesting watching that kids eat those too. And as you are aware of, the economic times are tough, and we're no different. It has put a pinch on us. And for past years, we've been very, very fortunate to have Freeman Communities and Freeman Foundation to pay for all of our housing. That runs from a tune of $55,000 to $60,000. This year, they're providing a grant that does not cover it all. So not only do we have to pick up part of the housing expense, we still have all of our other expenses. When we put a number to everything that we do, the people who give us things, we try to put a dollar amount to it. The total cost to run this event is $225,000. And that includes the hard cost and soft cost. This year, it's been very hard to generate sponsors and maintain our sponsors. That's why it's so important for your support. I want to thank you for your support previous. Thank you for your support in 2009. And you're all invited to come to the Players' Party, which is really a nice event that if you really want to get to see what this is all about, be there with the players when there's no ball. They're just all being 15, 14, 15, 16-year-old kids. And opening ceremonies on August 9th, and I'm sure all of you will get an invitation. If not, you can blame Petey. But again, thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't go too far. Mr. Baker, do you have a motion, or should we wing it?
We have a check for you that was part of the budget for under County Council grants.
And okay.
It was at 8% reduced from the previous year, like many of our other grants, but it is
only
still
8%.
A very worthwhile cause.
So this has already been approved?
Yes.
All right.
There you go.
Martin, on behalf of the Sussex County Council, the taxpayers of Sussex County, who appreciate everything you do for this World Series, and all the volunteers have helped to give you this check for $13,800.
How much?
Next item is a conditional use request for a time extension, And this is an application which was approved previously, conditional use 1531 from Dean Sherman near Milton. One of the conditions of the conditional use was that the excavation and operation of the burrow pit shall be limited to 24 months.
We will ask, Mr. Baker, if I could interrupt you, Mr. Robertson, to sit in on this.
Yes, as I'd indicated to you, Mr. President, I had represented the applicant in 2004 when he got his original conditional use, so I'd like to recuse myself from this matter. Mr. Robertson.
One of the conditions was that the excavation and operation of the burrow pit shall be limited to 24 months. If necessary, the applicant shall be allowed a reasonable amount of additional time to complete reclamation activities subject to the approval of the director. And Mr. Lawrence Lank, who is here today, granted an extension until April 20, 2009. The Planning and Zoning Commission believes that the County Council should now reconsider this request for another time extension. Mr. Sherman is here today, the applicant, and of course, Mr. Lank, if you have any questions.
Well, let Mr. Lank come up and give us an update on why we're here and where we're.
Sent you a copy of the report, and I'll pass down a copy of
the aerial photographs.
There's four different ones. The aerials are, the one's got a highlighted red lines to show you what the needs to be completed.
Red.
Oh, did you get any?
That's all right.
Great.
Yeah.
Four, I only had four color ones.
Here are some additional color copies.
This is the second extension?
Attached to the memo addressed to David by Shane Abbott and my staff is a copy of the memo to Dave, a copy of the letter Shane wrote to Dean Sherman, the owner, a copy of a April 13th letter addressed to myself requesting a time extension of sorts, and a letter I wrote September 30th of 08 to allow time to complete the reclamation. And at the very last three pages are a copy of the original ordinance 1682 for conditional use number 1531. This, as David stated, one of the conditions was excavation operation of the bar pit be limited to 24 months. Based on the comments from the applicant, they were substantially underway with excavation, and the economics of times, there wasn't anybody wanting any dirt, so basically the hauling stopped. So he would have ended up with a very small pond, not what his original intent was. If you look at the photographs, you can see the residents sitting in the back, and the scenic view he would have had across his pond looking out toward Route 5. And his intended hope is to complete that excavation area marked out in the red or pink line, I forget which, I don't have the color photo in front of me. Most of it's already been disturbed, this matter of reclaiming it.
She's got the good color pictures here somewhere, right here.
Yeah, the color one shows it. The red area is where they wish to finish excavation. That would connect the two ponds together. And then the pink area is the area that's already been completed, stabilized, grassed, and seeded. Actually, grass growing.
Well, let me ask this question then. How many years has it taken to get the hole or the lake or whatever pond this large?
The original conditional use was approved in 04.
Okay. I mean,
with conditions, and those conditions would have warranted 24 months based on their request. Typically, a bar pit application, if they were had substantially started, he could still be digging. That's the only difference, but he put a time limit on himself, and the council and the commission, I believe, made a stipulation.
Right. The applicant proffered the 24 months.
Yeah,
right. Okay. If the market's still bad, which it probably will be, how do we know we're going to sell any dirt for the next year? Are we going to, were we just going to settle for a smaller pond?
Well, you could end up settling for a smaller pond if council so chose and are allowed a certain amount of time to get to the finish of digging whatever he can dig, and whatever else wasn't finished would have to be reclaimed and restabilized and seeded and grassed, end up with grass.
Yeah, right.
And you can notice that there's one thing that, just in my personal view, the two ponds, the intent was to connect them together because of the bridge effect.
Right, oh yeah.
Imitation type bridge,
mm-hmm.
that they're not even yet connected.
Right.
That if they could connect those, it would get that scenic vista across the bridge at least. That's just personal observation. Dave, when I was
so he's asking for another 1 year extension? Is that?
I haven't. I don't know what he's
asking for. Open ended or what I mean?
His letter originally in April didn't really have a time, I don't believe.
Well, extensions are late.
He's 70% complete in asking to be able to complete. But there is no specific.
Well, let me ask you this, Lawrence. Are we permitted to give more than a 1 year extension? Isn't an extension a year?
A typical extension a year, that in this case he said 24 months, and that's what was the condition of the approval.
Other approved, but I'm saying extensions, when you give extensions to any conditional uses, aren't they 1 year at a time?
Typically, but it depends on the conditional use. In this case, his conditional use had a limit. A typical conditional use for a bar pit. And once you're substantially underway within that first year, you can keep digging until you're done.
What was the benefit of putting the limit on?
He was hoping that it would be finished based on the economics of the time, mm-hmm. and he would have a beautiful pond in front of his residence.
Sounds like now
on Route 5.
Sounds like he made a mistake. I remember the Horsey pit, for instance, is 40 years. I've seen others that have been 10 years. Mr. Cole, what do you think is a reasonable time frame?
Well, I think, tell me if I'm not wrong, the reason... I mean, if you anybody can dig a pond on their property, right? Pretty much, it's a permitted use in an agricultural.
At a farm pond, but all the spoil stays on site.
But that's what I'm saying. So for to haul off the spoils, that's where you needed a conditional use. Then all of a sudden you become you're in the dirt business.
Right. That's
okay.
Exactly
so he's right. He's been in the dirt business until he can get this finished.
Right.
So he's been in since 04.
Right. Started in 04.
So we're how many years now? We're what's
five.
That? 5 years. And he's 70%. I don't know. Probably a 3 year extension, I guess. I don't know. Maybe they'd get it done and not have to come back and then.
Yeah, the whole reason for the time limit, as you said, George, is that I believe he was just trying to satisfy the neighbor that made a objection
right.
and reduce the amount of truck traffic. He didn't want to have to deal with it, and they didn't want to have
he
to
didn't
deal
want
with
his neighbors to think he was going to have a full blown borrow pit operation
right.
in that neighborhood, right? And I can understand
that
there's some expensive homes.
All right, Mr. Cole, that seems reasonable. I'll consider that a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second to grant the time extension for a period of 3 years. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes, and if it has to be a smaller pond, it may have to be a smaller pond.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay.
Here, right here.
You can have this, too.
Too much paper. Too much paper.
The next item is a proposal that I believe the council is familiar with from the Sussex County Land Trust. At our last meeting, the Land Trust made a recommendation on June 30th for the county to participate in the purchase of farmland preservation development rights. The recommendation would preserve approximately 218.87 acres from development. The cost to the county, as recommended by the Land Trust, would be $300,000 from prior year funds set aside for open space, which works out to a cost per acre of $1,371. The federal match would be $649,628 approximately, and the Sussex County Land Trust contribution would be approximately $172,723, and that is from private monies that the Land Trust raises. Five farms would be preserved along the preservation loop. The total cost, counting the federal, the Land Trust, and the county funds, would be amount to $5,128 per acre. Again, this would be for the purchase of development rights, not for the purchase of the property, and it would not provide public access to the property. An approval of this proposal, as with other open space proposals, would require four votes or a supermajority of the county council. I just passed out a chart that shows the locations of the five particular parcels, and we have that also on a chart, which I can put on the easel here. We also have with us Ms. Wendy Baker and Mr. Dennis Forney from the Sussex County Land Trust, if you have any questions or on the matter.
We discussed this back in June, and it was deferred because we were a little concerned about the budget at the state level and how they may affect our funding. Are you comfortable that the state has passed a budget that does not provide us any surprises that could affect our budget this coming year?
Yes, at this point, we have not been made aware of any other items that surprise us, so to speak. There were changes, of course, in the paramedic funding and the dog control funding, of course, but we expected those changes.
Yeah. Okay. Does council have any questions about this that would be directed to Mr. Baker or representatives of the land trust? If not, could we consider it through a motion, please? I need a motion to approve. Mr. Baker, have you got a motion?
I have a proposed motion. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves the use of up to $300,000 of county funds toward the purchase of approximately 218.87 acres of farmland preservation rights in Sussex County based on a recommendation from the Sussex County Land Trust with funding from the federal land trust and the federal government.
I'll introduce that.
I have a motion by Ms. Deaver. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the motion read by Mr. Baker. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take a vote. It takes a 4/5 majority. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'm going to be the 4/5, I guess, the no vote. I don't like the program. I think that I like open space, but my definition of open space, basically, gentlemen, is when it's taxpayer funded, that the open space should also provide public access. And buying development rights is just doesn't meet that threshold for me. So I'll vote no because it does not provide public access.
You're going to be the 4/5.
I could be.
You're assuming I'm going to vote yes?
I'm assuming you are. You're a farmer.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
There you go.
Right again.
Mm-hmm.
But you're only one vote away.
Mm. Tighten it up. Mr. Baker. Okay.
The next item we have is a proposed ordinance for discussion and possible introduction regarding fees associated with a new service to be offered by the Recorder Deeds Office. And the Recorder Deeds, Mr. John Brady, is here today. This ordinance reflects comments made at a previous county council meeting last month. The new service would provide online access of Recorder Deeds information to attorneys, title searchers, or anyone interested. This would enable attorneys, paralegals, title searchers, and the public to do research from their offices or homes and thus help us with space needs in the Recorder Deeds Office. ACS, the company that currently handles maintenance of our deeds records, can provide this service for a fee of 40% of the proposed revenues. The proposed ordinance would establish fees for the service for subscribers of $50 a month plus 25 cents per printed page. For non-subscribers, $1 per printed page with no monthly charge. So there is some additional estimated revenue for the county, which we think conservatively would be at least $15,000.
Have you anything to add, Mr. Brady?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the Honorable Council. There would be no charge to search the index. That means anyone could search the index from home and check out their deeds and check out those documents. And if they wanted to print them out, they could pay the $1 per page charge for a non-subscriber. This is a revenue plus. It is not designed to bring in a great amount of revenue, but I did not want to, based on our tight county finances, look for something that would cost the county money. That's why when we negotiated, they wanted us initially to pay $100 a month service charge, and we only got 40 cents, and I said, call us back when you want to offer something reasonable. They called back a week later, and the service charge disappeared, and we get 60 cents of each dollar that would come in. They would handle the credit card billings. That would come out of their 40 cents. This could be done online with credit cards. It could be set up with an account. Because I have to clear everything with the resident judge of Sussex County, the Honorable T. Henley Graves, he and I chatted last week about this. I had also discussed it with members of the bar. He has no opposition because it is not curtailing services. It is not stopping people from recording, stopping people from coming downstairs and looking at the documents. It's an additional online service. Currently, it's offered in Newcastle and Kent counties. They have the monthly service charge in Newcastle County was $100. The monthly service charge, which they're looking at, was $10 in Kent, and they've realized that they haven't priced it right because they're doing much more there, and there's virtually nobody in the. They've cut down the number of people that come down to the service area. Last year, this Honorable Council commissioned a space study. I went down and looked at Virginia Beach after 1 year of implementing this. They only had three title searchers in the room. Everybody else was doing it online, and it was cutting down, so they did not have to grow in space. One of the concerns that the county in the budget was looking at additional space for the recorder's office. Gentlemen and lady, I believe it's a win-win situation for the county, and I would ask that the county council consider this, and I'd be available for any questions or any other information that you would so desire.
Mr. Cole? Ms. Dela?
Sounds okay.
Any other questions?
Good to me.
When will this service be available?
We have scanned the deeds back to the mid-90s. We have scanned the mortgages back to the mid-90s. Each day, we're scanning backwards. Once the contract is signed, it will be up and running within a month, and there'll be a press release with Mr. Guy, and we will announce when the service is up and running. Ideally, they were looking at August 1st, but that was if the contract was signed by July 1st. You had a lot of other things on your plate around July 1st, so Mr. Baker and I talked about delaying this until the middle of this month.
Now, I will ask a question.
Sure, Mr. Cole.
So anybody, I can sit home and somebody could, I could go search a deed, my deed, or anybody's deed, really.
Anybody's deed in Sussex County, that's correct.
That doesn't cost a thing.
It will not cost a thing to check the index. But if you wanted to print it under the non-subscriber charge, it would be $1.
So it's only printing. So if I want to look at it,
right.
Okay. And I can't, okay.
And you'll be able to look at the index and the document according to the way the contract's written. And that includes the mortgage.
And now when we set our website up, I mean, there was some kinks and hurdles there because it wasn't so user-friendly. Is it going to be something to eat people, a layman like myself who doesn't, you know, search deeds and all that, will be able to step-by-step follow it? So
yes.
Okay. That's the important part.
Because if it doesn't, that's the part of it. That's one of the terms of the contract.
Okay.
And that it will be easy to access, and they already have it up and running in Kent under this 2020 system that we have in place.
So it'll just be another area on our website you can go to and pull it up?
That's correct.
We would have a
along
link
with tax
to
maps
it,
and everything else? Okay, excellent.
We'll have a link
and
to it.
And we've already put the tax stitches on, and we have the tax information, the tax bills. This will be another thing. And based on the state law that was passed, if you want to have information redacted, say you want to have a Social Security number redacted, or other personal information, you can, a separate thing, you can file a form with the recorder's office at no charge, and we'll redact it off the online version to protect against identity theft. That was a House bill that was 260. There were three House bills that I was up at the legislature the last night. That was one of the three. The third one that affects county is that the state fees are going up as of August 1st. They were originally supposed to go up July 1st. We would have had 5 hours to implement them on June 30th, and we were able to get that delayed a month.
So Everett, this would, they would show deed restrictions, right? So many times we have, applicants here with a zoning issue, and they'll, you know, somebody will say, is there any deed restrictions? So it's something we should be able to access?
It's going backwards. We're trying to scan all the items back. We've scanned back at least, we've got over 10 years now. We scan every day backwards.
So how long do you think it'll get till we get to a point where we're pretty much?
I'm trying to scan 50 years of mortgages. That's the effective date in the state that are of record. And we're trying to get all the deeds. I expect that all the documents will be scanned in sometime in 2010, but we'll have a substantial amount available when it's up and running.
Mr. President, may I ask a question?
It's every document we have downstairs.
Yeah, so it's other documents as well.
Deeds, mortgages, satisfactions, everything we have of record, plots.
Liens?
When we have liens down there, most of the liens are recorded in the prothonotary's office. When we have a Liz pendants recorded downstairs, that will be available.
Mr. Moore, please.
Yes, Mr. Brady. Are you indexing or scanning in the miscellaneous dockets?
Yes. So they're scanning all the books we have down there.
Okay, so going back to Mr. Cole's question, if a deed was not, or a restriction was not in a deed, but was recorded separately in a miscellaneous document, we would be able to pick that up, too.
That's correct. We also have it in there. The index books will be in there also. Mm-hmm. We're trying to cover all the documents. We will have the disclaimer that the best way to check it will be to come to the Recorder Deeds office. That as a service, we're trying to put all the documents available. But we're trying to get that point there. We'll also have a bid out if it's reasonable to take all the microfiche and do that at one shot. And that may get it done quicker than 2010.
Mm-hmm. But this doesn't include wills, does it?
No, we have nothing. At some point, we may be able to put the wills and the marriage records because we have the equipment. It would just be the allocation of the time to scan them. But we have not started looking at that availability as of this point.
All right. If there are no further questions of Mr. Brady, it will require a council member to introduce this so that it can go to public
hearing. I'll introduce it.
Mr. Cole introduces it. Mr. Cole has introduced it.
Thank you.
Sorry, Mr. Brady. Good job. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Brady.
Thank you.
Mr. Baker?
The next item is a topic, recovery zones for recovery zone bonds. And this is a part of a federal stimulus program which provides a provision whereby counties can issue tax-exempt bonds for businesses and for local governments. These are called American Recovery Zone bonds, and there are two types. One type is the Recovery Zone Economic Development Bond, is whereby local governments can issue for government projects. These are taxable bonds. This is a little different from what we normally do. These are taxable bonds with a 45% rebate of interest by to the issuer by the federal government. At this time, these for county projects, these do not seem like the best option for us. There are other funding agencies, USDA and SRF and whatnot, that seem to offer better options for us. We have been told that these could be offered to the towns. Perhaps the towns have a project and it might make sense for them. The limit that for Sussex County governments for this type of bond, number one, their Recovery Zone Economic Development Bond, is $16,644,000. The second type of bond is Recovery Zone Facility Bonds. Now, these are issued for the benefit of private businesses through the county. The county's name is actually on the bond, thereby the business receives a tax-exempt or lower rate, interest rate. The county is not obligated. Our credit is not pledged. It's not county debt, direct debt. It is similar to the Industrial Revenue Development Bond Program, except that these are available for many more additional purposes besides manufacturing. The Industrial Revenue Bond Program was particularly available to manufacturing, Years ago, it was much broader uses, and basically the stimulus program makes that program available again on a much broader scale. These bonds could be used for non-manufacturing and agriculture businesses. They cannot be used for certain businesses such as gambling, country clubs, golf courses, racetracks. Again, the county's credit is not pledged. The limit for Sussex County is $24,967,000. But we believe that these could be a nice incentive for businesses considering capital expansion, and this would be enable them to borrow the money at a less expensive rate. Either of these types of bonds can be only issued in what's called a recovery zone, which has been defined as a distress-type area. And the county council's decision must be what areas of the county constitute a recovery zone. Mrs. Webb, Mrs. Wheatley, and myself got together with to try to determine how we can classify what a recovery zone is. And what we did is we tried to outline the area, and what we decided is that we felt like practically all areas of the county except for state and federal owned lands should be included. So because, for instance, if there's a project in the city of Rehoboth that would employ residents from outside the city of Rehoboth and will benefit the economy, possibly even in Seaford or Georgetown. And the basis for this zone would be that county residents have the lowest median household income in the state of Delaware, $58,600 per household. We have a high unemployment rate of 7.3%, which is considerably higher than the 3.9% of a year ago. Also, the gap between affordable housing prices and prices affordable for low to moderate income households is the greatest in Sussex County compared. It's $51,000 in Sussex as a shortfall compared to $13,000 in Newcastle and $43,000 in Kent. The Economic Development Administration has designated all the county as a distressed area and eligible for EDA assistance. So for those reasons, we felt that it made sense to classify the county as a whole without the public lands as a recovery zone.
That's depressing. I think the whole county's in need of recovery. I thought we were doing pretty good here.
Well, I think that we felt that even though on the eastern side of the county there are certain areas that certainly would you may not consider as distressed, a project within those areas, if we do not include, for instance, Rehoboth, just to give an example, or Lewis, then if there's a project within those areas that would employ not only people possibly from those areas, but also employ residents from Georgetown or Seaford or wherever throughout the county, there would be a benefit to the county overall from an economic development standpoint. And the other thing, like, it is our understanding that Newcastle is looking at eliminating agricultural areas, but we felt we needed to include agriculture because this would benefit the agriculture industry as well. And, of course, poultry is the number, or Sussex County is the number one poultry producer on a nationwide. So for that reason, we tried to make this rather broad. The towns, in order for the towns to qualify for any of the funding, we had to include the towns. So there's another reason. We do have, of course, tourism is important, and we wanted to be sure that the eastern side of the county would, you know, be available for some of this funding if possible. But again, that is a county council decision as to where the recovery zone would be. And so it is, you know, your prerogative to determine to make that call.
the weight is on our shoulders is to make this call.
Yeah.
And
that what we envision in terms of a process is for the businesses that are interested to apply, similar to how they have applied in the past for industrial revenue and industrial development bonds. We have a committee. We have an application form. They would fill out the application form, and it includes financial information about their business and to ensure that it's a viable business. Our Industrial Revenue Bond Committee would review that application, hold a public hearing, and as well as, of course, our bond attorney would be consulted to ensure that the project is eligible for the funds, and the committee would make a recommendation to the county council.
What would the bond ratings be?
The bond rating depends on the credit of the business. Mm-hmm. You know,
okay.
If it's
they've
also eased the regulations on banks so that these are more attractive for banks to loan money to businesses. So that was another benefit of this program.
Here we
so
go again.
If it's a smaller project, and if it's a very large project, they may want to go to the bond market and through an underwriter and whatnot. But if it's say $1 million or less even, they may want to work through a bank and borrow the money from a bank.
Mm-hmm.
But it would still qualify under this program.
There. Any other discussion? Mr. Wilson.
There is some drawback on these things. And the drawback that I had some years ago, the state started loaning money at a very low interest. And people that already had poultry houses were paying probably 7% about that time, if I remember. And so they loaned money to other people to build more chicken houses, and they loaned it at 5. If anybody knows anything about broader business, that's a very competitive business. That 2% just about drove out the other people because they had older houses, plus didn't have the money as cheap, and they had a bigger investment, in a sense of speaking, in order to be competitive. In fact, it was such a lousy deal, I rode to Dover, spent some time, they decided it was a bad idea. So you have to watch yourself in competition. Mm-hmm. If you loan to one people that's incompetitive to another person that's got another rate, it's not fair. That's the only thing I found mm-hmm. wrong with that idea.
Mm-hmm. No.
Is the only question before us today the area that we designate as the recovery zone?
Yes.
Okay.
And we have a resolution to that effect that was developed by our bond attorney, which I just passed out.
Okay.
Does
the council have any other discussion?
We're not going to pick out the spots today, are we? Right now?
The
whole county is going to be a recovery zone.
Well,
what the recommendation is, the whole county. That way you don't segregate somebody off and say you can't be part of it.
There you go. We're all in it together.
Sure.
Yeah, if we can do that, I think we should.
Sure.
Yeah.
Our bond council, we consulted with our bond council about this, and they felt that given our situation that they felt we could make it that broad.
Do you have a motion, Mr. Brager?
Yes. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council designates recovery zones for Sussex County pursuant to the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 and to include areas throughout the county with the exception of state and federal owned lands.
Is there a motion to that effect?
I'll make the motion.
Second the motion.
It's been moved and second to approve the motion read by Mr. Baker. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
Yes. What the heck? I don't know. Nobody ever use it.
And
sounds good.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Feels good.
I don't know what it is. Administrator's report, Mr. Baker. Have you got anything left?
Yes. Yes.
Any other good ideas from that end of the table?
No.
We put a lot of faith in Mr. Baker, don't we?
Could be Everett could be down here feeding him some of this kind of stuff. He's new.
The first item is a home foreclosure prevention seminar. and attached is a press release. And with us today, we have Mr. Bill LaCates and Brandy Bennett. They will be holding this seminar on Wednesday, July 22nd, from 2 to 8 p.m. at the Millsboro Fire Company. And Mr. Jerry Kelly from the State Bank Commissioner's Office will also discuss various options, and this is designed for anyone behind on their mortgage payment. Attached is a copy of the summer bookmobile schedule. The bookmobile will be helping the Bridgeville Library during the summer on Thursdays and Fridays during the transition period while their new library is under construction. Also attached is Delaware State Police report. The police handled 3,776 traffic arrests. Approximately 42% of the hours on duty were spent on criminal investigations. Beneficial acceptance, the engineering department granted beneficial acceptance to Bethany Woods on July 1st, 2009. This is in the Cedar Neck expansion of the Bethany Beach Sewer District, consisting of a 19-lot subdivision. Clean Hands report, as of July 20th, per the County Assessment Division, approximately $633,000 has been collected as a result of the Clean Hands Ordinance, which requires residents and property owners to be current in the payment of county obligations, including taxes, prior to receiving various county approvals or permits. Also attached is a schedule regarding the County Emergency Operations Center, Fire and Ambulance Call Board call statistics. 46,344 911 calls were received by the dispatch center for the period January 1st to June 30. 65% of the calls were from wireless. This continually goes up. It was 62% in 2008 and 54% in 2007 from wireless. National Association of Counties Prescription Drug Discount Card Program. Users of this card, Sussex County card, have saved a total of $160,000 since November 2007 when it started. Approximately 11,000 prescriptions were filled using the card, and the month of June was our highest usage of it with 877 prescriptions. The cards are available in county buildings, county libraries, and at participating drug stores. The average price savings per prescription is 24%. There's no cost to the card, and attached is a copy of it, of the card.
Any questions for Mr. Baker?
They're at the cheer centers, too, Mr. Baker.
At the cheer centers,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Ms. Susan Webb, our finance director.
Thank you.